Ay bobo, ay bobo, ay bobo. Welcome to the Aguacerito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation. Bobo, welcome to the Aguacerito podcast. In today's episode, we are going to do something really special. In our last episode, we took a moment to break down not only African spirituality principles, but specifically Haitian voodoo principles. And if you haven't heard that episode, I highly recommend you check it out. In today's episode, we're going to take that conversation kind of a next step forward and really have a comparative analysis conversation as we think about how Haitian voodoo compares to other world religions. As always, before we get started in today's episode, we're going to take a moment and ground ourselves in prayer. So let's start with our breath. Let's breathe together three times. Inhale serenity. And exhale fear. Inhale acceptance. And exhale doubt. Inhale optimism. Exhale uncertainty. Allow your breath to align to your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and the south. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great grandparents and beyond, both near and far. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects all of us as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the moment to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with light, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our minds and our hearts in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance that needs to be shared is shared, as well as understood in this episode. We also ask that whatever lessons need to be learned, be learned. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo, asao, alaso, awoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sem, bo. In today's episode, we are going to compare Haitian Vodou's theology and cosmology to those of other world religions. We also wanted to compare, do a comparative analysis of different aspects of the faith that are really considered stereotypical, right? And really the goal of this conversation, and I feel that this is such an important yet deep conversation, we're probably going to end up breaking this up into two episodes. But there's a lot of stereotypes, a lot of misconceptions when it comes to how various different individuals perceive or interpret Vodou. And one of the things that we want to do in today's episode is really convey how Haitian Vodou is literally just like many other world religions that we see in the world practiced every single day. And I think what's going to be fascinating about this conversation is that, at least for me, when I really think about Haitian Vodou and I think about some of the core principles of this faith, there are actually more parallels and similarities then there are differences of any other faith. And I think that's why it's important to really deconstruct. You know, to me, this is one of the heart of the conversation about deconstructing Vodou, is being able to shed light on how similar it is to many other world religions out there. So without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and get us started with this conversation. And feel free to email us if you have any other questions. I feel like not only this is going to be another episode, I can see this conversation going on for quite some time for maybe other future episodes. And I'd love to invite some scholars, you know, different scholars that are in this space to continue this conversation, because I think it's so critical. So one of the first things I think I mentioned in the past episode that we had, we talked about the fact that Haitian Vodou is really considered henotheistic in nature. And when we say henotheistic, that means that many Vodouisant practitioners, they believe in one supreme God, which we call Bon Dieu. Some people call them Gramet, right? We believe in one supreme God with many lois or spirits, right? So this idea of believing in one universal God with a number of, you know, other religions may call them lesser gods, they may call them deities or spirits, we call them lois and spirits. They play a critical role in the practical, ritual, and spiritual lives of their practitioners. And we find that across world religions, worship practices, you know, within Haitian Vodou, we don't say worship, we say serve, right? So we serve the spirits. but worship practices are often focused on specific deities or laws while acknowledging this overarching supreme being, right? Or supreme divine entity. So if we start to look at what I'm going to call sister faiths or sister religions and other ATRs or other African traditional religions, when we think about like Yoruba Ifa, we think about Condomble, we think about Santeria, Olodumare, right? Olodumare is considered that creator or ultimate authority, right? Which is kind of similar to what we call Bunje or Gomet. And within these ATRs, these specific ATRs, there's many more, but within these specific ATRs, they call them Orishas. So they have Orishas that are their divine entities that govern various aspects of life and nature. So within the Yoruba system, the Condomble, Santeria, they have Ogun, which we have Ogu, which is really considered the Orisha of iron and war. Ogu in Haitian Vodou is the loa of war, strength, power, etc. In these ATRs, they have Oshun, which is considered the kind of the Orisha of love, which in Haitian Vodou would be a similar parallel to what we say is Ezulifueda, right? Which is the loa of love. So those are just some specific examples that you see within the ATRs that really talk about that henotheistic relationship between a supreme universal being and other divinities. So within the ATRs, practitioners, they focus on specific orishas while acknowledging Olodumare's supreme role. We see if we take a look at, some specific Native American practices or Native American faiths, we see that in various different indigenous tribes, such as the Lakota and the Sioux tribes, that's located in the Dakotas and Minnesota and Montana and Nebraska within the U.S., Wankantanka is the creator god, or in their practice, they call it the Great Spirit, right? So again, we say Bunje, Gomet, ATRs use Odulumare. In Native American spirituality, the Great Spirit. So we also see in the Olokwin tribe that's in Canada, they use the term Giche Manitou, which for them is the supreme being. And they have they have kind of other spirits, animal spirits, deities that are considered powerful. But again, kind of going back to acknowledging the Great Spirit as the ultimate being. In certain sects or certain kind of aspects of Hinduism, we also see this henotheistic concept, right? So in some of the specific sects within Hinduism, Brahman, right? Brahman is the all-encompassing divinity. And then there's a number of lesser gods that are manifestations of Brahman. So when we think about Vishnu, Shiva, Devi, Krishna, so these are all other manifestations of the supreme Brahman. We also see, if we think about Zoroastrianism, a religion that's practiced in Central Asia and Iran, we also see this henotheistic relationship. So within Zoroastrianism, they have Ahura Mazda, right, which is supreme, but there are other spiritual beings that exist. So you can see, and I feel like I can go more and more and more, but again, Haitian Vodou is not the only religion in the world that follows a henotheistic structure or construct. Another principle that is important to think about is the fact that Haitian Vodou is going back to this concept of meaning spirit. And within the Haitian Vodou cosmology, everything is connected, right? Everything is interconnected through a web of energy, and spirit is in everything and revered and respected and honored. And that is a core principle in Haitian Vodou. We see the same principle in vast religions across the world. So whether we are talking about Taoism, right? So Taoism, a faith in faith tradition in China, they believe that the Tao is the ultimate source and essence of everything, and essentially is an energy or an unseen force that flows through all things, that creates this, you know, harmonious balance across the universe. And the Tao manifests not only in nature, but in living in harmony with the Tao is central to that specific practice. So many people, you know, and when we think about from a secular perspective, practices like Tai Chi or Feng Shui that really seek to align our personal energy, or what we call our Chi, to the natural flow of everything, because everything is interconnected. That is a core theology in Taoism. If we look at Japan and we look at the Shinto practice, right? The Shinto practice, they believe in what's called kami, and kami is spirits that inhabit all things, including aspects of nature such as trees, rivers, and animals. And in Shinto, these spirits are not separate from nature, but they're actually interconnected. And so within the Shinto practice, there are rituals and festivals that honor the kami, emphasizing this interconnectedness, spirit between nature, between like the human community. We see the similarities in other religions, whether it's in Australia with the Australian Aboriginals. If we look at other like ATRs again, if we look at like Yoruba, we look at some of the faith traditions of the Sun people in Africa, we even going back to Native American. So there are multiple religions across the world that do believe in the interconnected harmony between humans, spirits, and the natural world. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. If we take a look at religions that have multiple realms, so in the last episode, we talked about the fact that Haitian Vodou is, there being kind of levels of various different realms. So we have what's called the sky realm or the heavenly realm, which we call Guiné. There's the earth realm, which humans and animals and nature resides. And then we have what's called the ancestral realm or the underworld, right? There are dozens of other religions that have that similar commonality when it comes to these realms, right? So we think about the Zulu religion. They have a similar kind of association of this sky, earth, and ancestral realm. We think about the Akan religion of Ghana. Again, these two are African traditional religions, both seeing and acknowledging the importance of having the various different realms and being able to kind of maintain harmony across the three realms, right? And seeing that there's interconnectedness across the three realms between the divine beings, between the universal God, but also between our ancestors. We also see that in Hinduism, right? So within Hinduism, they have kind of that similar three realm, even though they have different words that they call it. In Taoism, we also see these aspects of the various three realms. And they have, again, different words that they use. So each specific religion shares kind of similar concept just using different names, right? So I think the last one I mentioned was Taoism. So for example, Taoism, their sky realm, they call the Qian, right? So the Qian is home to immortal beings, deities, and in terms of helping maintain cosmic order. Then they have the earth realm, which they call the physical world, which is governed by the flow of qi. So we go back to thinking about Tai Chi or thinking about Feng Shui. The energy, you know, being able to really have the governance of the flow of energy and the balance of yin and yang is important in Taoism. And then the ancestral realm, having ancestors connected to their descendants and honored through offerings and rituals in order to maintain harmony, which we talk about as well. We're gonna cover ancestral veneration here in a moment. But again, even though each of these religions are practiced in different parts of the world, the cosmology and the principles are very similar. And I find that really fascinating. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. Haitian Vodou, we took some time to talk about the fact that Haitian Vodou is also decentralized, right? So meaning that the religion as a faith as a whole doesn't have kind of a centralized governance model, doesn't have like one supreme leader on earth per se, or does not have any specific sacred texts. And a lot of centralization is really emphasized at the local level, right? So the emphasis is on locality and it's emphasized on community. And within certain religions, similar to Haitian Vodou, religious knowledge is preserved and shared orally, and they're shared through rituals, through prayers, through songs, through different stories that is passed on from one generation to the next. We see this idea of instead of focusing on control and standardization and dominance, the focus is on honoring divine will, locality, and liberation, right? And that's not only true in Haitian Vodou. There are religions across the world that have a similar lens. So if we go back to, if I think about Shinto, for example, Shinto in Japan is a faith tradition that also lacks a centralized authority, and individual shrines, they essentially operate independently. So they have individual shrines. You know, in Haiti, we have what's called lakus, and their practices are based on the local kami or spirits or regional traditions. And in Shinto, each community reveres its own kami, which is often tied to the local mountains or the rivers or the forest, right? So we see this similar theme in Haitian Vodou. Shinto is also transmitted orally, and we see a lot of the practices focus on rituals and festivals rather than sacred texts. So a lot of Shinto, kind of like Haitian Vodou, is focused on the experience, right? It's focused on the communal aspects of the faith. We see this in certain parts of Taoism, right? In certain aspects of Taoism, it is also highly localized, and there are a lot of focus on community-based religions and practices. And a lot of worship within in certain aspects of Taoism, they center on local deities, on their ancestors, and spirits that are, you know, relevant to specific religions or traditions. We see this similarity in other African tradition religions like Yoruba Ifa, like Akan. We see the similarity in Native American spirituality and the Andean spirituality with this within Central America, as well as in Australia. So the many world religions have this aspect of decentralization with local central community focus in terms of how people get together and celebrate the faith. When we look at religions that have a flexible spiritual framework, and I believe, you know, when we think about Haitian Vodou, I believe that flexible spiritual framework is one of many, right? There's, I think we talk about so many different principles that make it unique. But within Haitian Vodou, it may seem specifically unique to Haitian Vodou, but we actually see that in other religions. And I found that to be very surprising in my research. So I want to start with the diasporic religions, because a lot of the diasporic religions that kind of came into the Caribbean and into Latin America as a result of the transatlantic slave trade also have this aspect of flexible spiritual frameworks. And we see a lot of syncretism as a result of that. So Santeria, aspects of Santeria, you know, it blends Yoruba traditions with Catholicism. We see that with Candomblé as well. Candomblé incorporates Yoruba, Fon, and Bantu traditions with Catholic and indigenous influences. So it's kind of similar to Haitian Vodou. We see with Umbanda, which is in Brazil, they integrate African, indigenous, Brazilian, and Christian elements, which is also very interesting. And they actually focus heavily on mediumship and communication with spirits to really help create a very personalized spiritual guidance and practice across the faith. Even if you think about aspects of Rastafari in Jamaica, Rastafari combines African spirituality, Christian theology with a blend of Ethiopian kind of heritage perspectives in order to really kind of refine that practice. And we see this idea of a flexible spiritual framework in Zulu religions. We see that within the East, we see it in Taoism, we see it in Shinto, we see it in North America, within Native America and Australia as well. So again, across the world, Haitian Vodou is not the only religion with a flexible spiritual framework that allowed it to syncretize with the indigenous Taino faith, but also with Roman Catholicism. So you can see there's many other religious systems that also create that aspect. When we think about religions that practice ancestor veneration, I think this one was really surprising. Like, so I knew a number of religions, you know, most likely practiced ancestor veneration in some faith, well, some shape or form. I did not realize how widespread ancestor veneration was. As someone who is born and raised in the West, it was very fascinating to do research. So there are over, and according to, you know, some of the research I've done, well over 20 to 30 different faith traditions across the world where individuals venerate their ancestors. So if we look at, let's start with the Southeast. So if we think about the Southeast Asian religions, we see ancestor veneration practiced in Hinduism. It's practiced in Buddhism. It's practiced in the Philippines. If we look at specific indigenous religions, some of the what's called the First Nations religions, the Andean religions in South America, the Maori religion within New Zealand, a vast number of the ATRs, the African traditional religions. So when I think about ancestor veneration, I love the secular introduction of it most recently with the movie Black Panther. We saw ancestral veneration like up front and center. And that was really cool to see that level of representation. If we look at other religions, Sikhism, Zoroastrianism, Islam, if we look at other kind of, let's, if we go to the East, so we look at East Asian religions, Confucianism, Taoism, Shinto, we look at Korean shamanism, Vietnamese folk religion. It's really pretty fascinating when you start to see all the religions across the world. And of course, you know, I can't forget my Afro-diasporic sister religions. So Santeria, Candomblé, Ubanda, Kamina, Obia, Palo, hoodoo, right? So a number of religions across the world venerate their ancestors. So it's not just Haitian voodoo, right? If we think about religions that are community-centric, and I spoke a little bit about that when we talked about religions that are decentralized, that really focus on an oral tradition, with an emphasis on locality in terms of standardized practices, we see religions outside of Haitian voodoo that are community-centric, that are what I'm going to say are focused on relationality. So when we think about relationality, like Haitian voodoo, relationality is really emphasizing and prioritizing the mutual exchange, or really prioritizing the relationship between human to human, relationship with the, you know, between the human and the spiritual realms, between humans and the natural realms. So not only having communal ceremonies, communal rituals, communal festivals, it's also how can individuals nurture relationships between the community, between themselves, and between the spiritual forces and within nature. And so this, you know, being able to maintain order and harmony really promotes the well-being of individuals. It really promotes the well-being of the community. It really promotes the spiritual health, let's just say, across many different parties, across the realms. So whether we're talking about relationality with the heavenly realm, or what we call Gina, the relationality with individuals on earth and our respect for animals and nature, and being able to have a mutual exchange of in terms of relations of that give and get, but also relationality that we have with our ancestors. So I remember, if you recall in the last episode, I mentioned the fact that individuals that if they're seeking to begin to tap in to their Haitian voodoo roots, start with your ancestors, right? Start building relationships with their ancestors. That level of relationality and what I call kind of cohesion, those are extremely important. And we see that not just in Haitian voodoo, we see that in other religions, let's say with the Aboriginal religions of Australia. A lot of the Aboriginal spirituality, they revolve around the relational ties that individuals have to the land, to the ancestral spirits, and what they call dreamtime stories that connect people to their environment. And they have ceremonial gatherings. They call them corroborees, and these bring communities together to honor the land and to honor their ancestors. They do that through storytelling, song, and dance. That sounds like a laku, and it sounds like a Haitian voodoo ceremony, in my opinion. The health of the community, let's say within the Australian Aboriginal community, the health is linked to the spiritual and physical care of the land and its sacred sites, which is also important in Haitian voodoo. We see Taoism. So, you know, we already mentioned that Taoism, you know, highlights this idea of living in harmony with the natural flow of the universe. And local temples and community rituals honor deities, ancestors, and spirits. And individual well-being is linked to the health of the family, linked to the health of the community, linked to the health of the natural environment. In ATR, so if we think about like the Zulu religion of South Africa, has a similar thread. Ikan religion within Ghana, Ifa, if we think about Native American, some of the diasporic religions like Santeria, Condomble, Umbanda. So you can see it's across multiple religions that we see this idea and emphasis and priority on relationality. When we look at religions that have multiple deities and spirits, I kind of spoke about this earlier when I think about henotheistic, but I wanted to drive the point home that it is not just Haitian voodoo that has multiple deities or spirits. We see some of the Norse religion. So Norse religions, this is in like pre-Christian Scandinavia. They had, you know, they have gods like Odin, Thor, Freya that coexisted with land spirits and ancestors. If we look at some of the ancient Greek religions, they had an enormous pantheon of gods that governed various different aspects of life. If we think about the Celtic religion, if we think, you know, going back to Hinduism, Hinduism also has a number of religions and dozens more, right? Dozens more. If we think about Shinto, Taoism, Native American. So there are many, many religions that have multiple deities or multiple kind of divinities that they're focused on in addition to a supreme being. Some have a supreme being, that concept of henotheism, and some just have just, again, kind of that polytheistic, right? Having multiple gods or multiple divinities that they focus on. If we switch gears and think about religions with a core belief in reincarnation. So reincarnation, and we spoke about this in the last episode, is this idea of having kind of, life never really truly ends. So even though our journey in this specific incarnation may come to an end or will come to an end, which it will happen to every single person that is living, the soul progresses forward, and the soul progresses through a series of different cycles and learning lessons and moving towards this idea of enlightenment, or what in Haitian Vodou we call liberation or unity with the divine. And reincarnation emphasizes relationships. So you can see how all of these concepts are interconnected, right? Being able to have those relationships with the living, with the ancestors, the spirits, and the divine. Reincarnation allows for a continuation of that to happen well beyond a specific incarnation. And again, there are dozens of religions that believe in reincarnation, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, they believe in reincarnation, Jainism. Also, I think what's interesting, they also have Sikhism is also believes in reincarnation. Let's take Hinduism for an example. So within Hinduism, they have what's called a samsara, and the samsara is the cycle of birth, it's of death and rebirth, right, as a central concept. And within Hinduism, the soul is called the Atman. So the Atman is reborn based on the karmic actions of a past life. And the goal, the ultimate goal of an Atman is to achieve moksha, right? So moksha is the liberation from the cycle of rebirth. And it's really towards realizing or gaining unity with Brahman, right? So Brahman is the ultimate being. So the goal is to kind of go through each cycle of life to be able to be reborn, to kind of, you know, learn lessons of the past with the ultimate goal of becoming one with Brahman. So we see that kind of continuation, that focus similar in Hinduism. We see that as well in the Vodou cosmology. We also see this idea of reincarnation in some of the other sister ATRs. So we see that within, let's say, Santeria, where souls are believed to be reincarnated within specific family lineages, and they continue the spiritual journey under the guidance of specific orishas. So sometimes you'll hear individuals say they are a child of this orisha or a child of that orisha that is believed to have continued from a family lineage. Condomble, similar, where the ancestors are believed to return to their lineage, and spirits can be reborn or continue their work through a series of different rituals. Umbanda as well, where spirits reincarnate to continue their spiritual growth. So again, Vodou is not unique to these principles. If we go to principles that and this will be the last one, I think, to kind of close out for today. But if we go to religions that have a social justice or a liberation as the anchor of its theology, right? Many religions have emerged, or they've been adapted, right? A lot of religions have been born in response to different systemic injustices that's happened to groups of individuals. So Haitian Vodou, while it was birthed you know, as a result of the harshness of slavery on the island of Hispaniola. And it was birthed at, and became the pinnacle, the guiding light that ultimately led to the victory of the Haitian Revolution. Haitian Vodou is not the only religion that derived and has social justice and that liberation theology. So if we look at, if I start with, like, let's say we're looking at some of the diasporic religions. So Santeria has roots of resistance, right? If we think about Candomblé emerged in response to the cultural and spiritual suppression of the enslaved Africans that were based in Brazil. Interestingly enough, many of the Abrahamic traditions also have a social justice lens, or kind of has this liberation theology. So for example, if we think about Christianity, particularly in Latin America, we see Christianity teachings through the lens of social justice, right? So the idea about advocating for the poor, and we think about scripture like the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes and even the central figures like Jesus is portrayed as champions of the marginalized, right? Champions really fighting for those that are oppressed. So we see that in Christianity, we see that in Islam. Right, Islam teachings are focused on emphasizing and caring for the poor and combating oppression. We see that in Judaism, right? When we think about the teachings of the prophets, right, emphasizing justice for the oppressed, care for the widow, care for those that are orphaned, creating, righting the wrongs of systemic injustice. And we see different movements, let's say like within the Tuku Olam, which is about repairing the world, which is about societal transformation. So we see that across, and I can keep going on, whether it's Buddhism, whether we talk about Hinduism and this liberation theology, you know, if we go back to like ATRs, we go back to the Ifa, we go back to Zulu religion. A number of religions emerged again as a result of being a safe space, being a place of resistance and a place of empowerment for those that are marginalized. So Haitian Vodou, being birthed out of the Haitian Revolution, is not anything new, right? That's happened many, many times over in many other religions across the world. So I have said a lot today. What I will do, I think, like I said, I'm going to do a part two to this because I think this is such an important conversation, but I'm going to do a part two. And in our next episode, we're going to take some time and unpack this comparison with some of the stereotypes, right? That's going to be a really interesting aspect. There's a lot of stereotypes that's associated or attached to Haitian Vodou. We're going to deconstruct that from a comparative lens in our next episode. So we're going to go ahead and close out today's episode. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and south. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain us and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents and beyond, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our path. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received. All that is to be learned will unfold, and all that is shared will bear fruit in time. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo asao, alaso, awoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa sembo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Joining us on the Agua Cerrito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits, and remember, the Agua Cerrito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.